Would you turn again to that portion that we read together in the book of Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 24. And we may take up the reading at verse 30. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. I'm sure that you know yourselves how at times you can pass by a house and just looking at the garden, you can come to the conclusion as to the type of person who lives in that home. When what is seen and what is outwardly obvious is neglected, it very often is the case with what is inside. And also, quite often is it not vice versa? If there's a beautiful garden, it usually means that the house is well and all that is in it is well kept. Likewise, there's usually a correlation between the two. As they say, every picture tells a story. Well, here we have this proverb, and this proverb Solomon, who obviously had one day observed a field, and what he saw spoke volumes to him. And he saw and considered it well, he tells us here. But what he saw was not attractive to him, but he learned from it. And that, friends, is what is important, is it not? Well, we read here, I looked upon it in verse 32, considered it well, I looked upon it, and I received instruction. This again, the whole thing reminds us of the Lord Jesus' words, by their fruits ye shall know them. And I would like to apply this passage tonight in three different ways, or to three different groups, if you like, and ask, what does your life and mine say to those, as it were, who are passing by? What does your life say to the onlookers? Is it that they see what we have in verse 31? It's all grown over with thorns, and nettles have covered the face thereof, and the stone walls thereof are broken down. Or is it that they see in your life and mine spiritual flourishing and good, as it were, to look at? Well, let us consider then here. And to look at in three, as I said, in three groups. First of all, the duties and responsibilities of keeping the garden. First of all, with office bearers, those who take office in the church. And then we'll consider it with other believers in the congregation. And then thirdly, we can apply it to the unbeliever as well. First of all, then, to those who are in office in the church. Now, there seems to be sometimes an idea that becoming an office bearer, whether a minister, or an elder, or a deacon, that immediately puts people on a higher plane, in the sense that it makes them holier than anyone else. And sadly, we can even come across the idea with some office bearers themselves, and I include ministers in this, that they themselves have that very idea. They're, as they say, a cut above everyone else, as if they are now on a higher spiritual plane and even ordinary, as it were, members of a congregation. And that comes from pride, and it comes from not being aware of what they are themselves, as if sometimes as if office guaranteed salvation. Those of us who are ministers hear it very often from some people, oh, it's all right with you, you're a minister. My friends, it is no more right for me as a minister than for anyone else, for anybody who is in Christ. And the idea that being in office, whether an elder, a deacon, a minister, that is the word guarantees your salvation, is something that we have to guard against, even with ourselves, but also with the impression that we give to others. And oh, how the history of the church shows how wrong that idea is. How often we see, and who has the greatest falls? It's those who are in office. And when they fall, what a mighty fall it is. And how careful then those in office need to be, whatever else is going on in the church. However, one thing is sure, and it is this, that any in office should seek more than anyone else not to be a slothful keeper of his own garden. And you here today who are in office, elders here, deacons, speaking to myself as well, I don't want to keep repeating that. But how we need to be aware that we are not slothful in our own gardens, that we are not letting things happen that shouldn't be happening. And any person who's an office bearer and who neglects his own spiritual life and well-being, who shows no fruit, who shows no growth, that person, you've got a question, should not be in office, because there's a particular duty that comes with it. How can such a person be able to give guidance to others, which he's called to do, if he is himself is not looking after his own garden, if he himself is not living the Christian life as he ought to? How could that possibly be? You've got to tend to your own garden first and foremost. And nobody can be in office who's not doing that. Nobody should be in office who is not doing that first and foremost. As I said, the responsibility of office, in whatever office in the church, and particularly in ministers and elders, the duty of that is a heavy duty. And if we are not looking after our own gardens, and if we are letting the stone walls fall down so that, as it were, anything comes in, and that is the problem here. And it's interesting the way that Solomon writes here in verse 30, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. You notice that? A man void of understanding. Why was he not keeping his garden? Because he was void of understanding. He wasn't practicing what he preached. He wasn't realizing what was involved in that office that was his, in that work that was his as the gardener or the person looking after the field, the farmer, if you like, in this situation, but applied spiritually. The great need that there is for this. And this truly, friends, is a problem. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, those who are in office, ministers, elders, particularly and deacons, will have to give the greatest account to their master of their stewardship when he comes again. When the Lord returns, oh friends, who are in office here today, how we need to be aware of the great responsibility that is ours, the great weight that should be upon us. Woe betide us, me as a minister and you as elders who have not been cultivating particularly your own spiritual garden. Who have you let things grow wild, as it were, in it? And in that way, what is happening? You're becoming fruitless. There is no fruit from your office. There's no fruit from your work that you have said you have been called to. You see, friends, it's so easy. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, verse 33. How easy that is. And I wonder how often you have as an office bearer, how often you have been aware of that. How often you've been aware, as it were, of failing your Lord by having a spiritual 40 winks. How often that can be with us. And what happens when we do that? That you could end up with years of sleepiness, of a deep sleep. And years go on. Starts off as a little thing. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Just a little rest, just leave things, step back a little. And what happens before you know it? Goes on and on and on. Friends, beware that it doesn't become a habit. And then, what happens then? It develops into a perpetual spiritual slumber. And the weeds grow. And there's no fruit. The walls fall down. And all sorts of things come on and into a congregation. So dear friends, I say to you, and I say to you, to myself as I say to you, as office bearers particularly, we need to be busy, daily busy plowing and planting. We need to be tending to the new and the mature plants. And we especially guard against being overgrown by the weeds. And the weeds of what? The weeds of deceit so often. Or the weeds that come in that way. Weeds of laziness. And in that way, we are unfit to do what we are called to do. And certainly as well, isn't it? Not just planted, but the walls, as I mentioned before, surrounding, guarding the field in verse 31. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. The walls were gone. There was no care. There was no looking out as there should be. You see, there is a congregation to care for here. A congregation that you have to care for. That you have promised as office bearers to look after. And you've got to know the plants, as it were, in the garden. You've got to know what is there. You've got to know what has to be in the walls surrounding so that they will be kept. And you've got to know the plants that need extra nurturing. You've got to know the plants that need a little bit more watering, as it were. You've got to know them. And if you don't know them, how can you look after them? And if you don't know your own soul, you need, you can never look after them anyway. To keep as well the walls up, to keep what is undesirable out, to ensure that none come in and plant the tears that can come in so quickly. But to know, you see, friends, the difference between the tears, for example, of erroneous teaching, misleading teaching, and the real doctrinal teaching according to Scripture, what must be true? Well, friends, just as a gardener or as a farmer must be able to identify what is healthy and what is right seed to plant, so must you as an office bearer. You've got to know. You've got to understand the Scripture. I'm not saying that we have to be all with John Owens or anything like that. But there has to be a measure of understanding. It astonishes me, I have to say, friends, astonishes me, not just here in this congregation, but elsewhere, regarding things like the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is our subordinate standard. Where is the understanding of it? I fear to say that sometimes you went into a home and asked, where's your Westminster Confession of Faith of an office bearer? Would they have one? Would they find one? When did they read it last? Friends, there's a responsibility that comes, and we cannot ignore it. And you see, if there is no theological understanding, I'm not talking again, I said, about great theologians, that's not what it's about. But there has to be a measure, surely, a measure of understanding. See, the problem here, a man void of understanding, and a person who is void of understanding cannot and shouldn't be in any office in any church. Whether again, deacon, elder or minister. No place for such. So when the Lord looks upon any of us in office, friends, I say to you, what does he see? Does he see a suitable carer of your own garden? And in that way, at least qualified to look after others. There's someone that you'll hear on that great day, well done, good and faithful servant. But will you hear, as I said elsewhere in earlier on Proverbs chapter 6, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Friends, we need to be. Now granted, ministers should be those with a deeper understanding of the doctrines. Of course, they should be. But that doesn't mean to say that an office bearer, it doesn't matter then, that they shouldn't have any spiritual discernment. Of course they must. So I say again, the need is great, that there is not a little sleep, a little slumber, letting things go, that there is no understanding, a man void of understanding. And if you are here tonight, we have to apply this to ourselves. If there's thorns and nettles and thistles that are covering the face of the ground in our own souls, we need to sort it out. And it becomes, as I say, with office bearers in a congregation. But then let me move on. It also applies to other members and other believers in a congregation. You've got to ask yourselves as well, friends, what is your situation? Now, no doubt in time past, oh, there was a good field that was seen. But what has happened? Thorns and nettles grown up in your field? Have you let things drift? Have the walls fallen down? What has happened? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Just let things go for a while. Is that what's happening? Not saying that was the intention when it started. Maybe there was somebody come in and you found it difficult and there were difficulties in and, well, like, I haven't got time today to do as much prayer as I used to. I haven't got time now to read as I used to. I've got to leave it for a day or two or a week or two. Well, I just can't get to church services, to the prayer meeting and so on. Not the intention when you started, maybe to be where you are tonight. Are you here tonight and you know as a believer in this congregation that you're not what you ought to be? Do you know that there is a lack in your life? Is it not because, friends, of what we read here? Is it not because of this neglect of your own soul? Friends, I fear that some have allowed the thorns and the nettles to grow where once there was a rich harvest. Again, going back to what I said at the beginning, sometimes you do see a garden that is so overgrown and a real mess. And you think, oh, I remember when they started off, when they moved into that house, what a beautiful garden they had. How they kept it so well. Wonder what has happened. My friend, is that how some people look at your life? I remember when they were so bright. I remember when it was such a pleasure to talk to them. I remember the fellowship and communion that we used to have together. And what has happened to it? And I say to you that once there was a rich harvest, but where is it? Would you not acknowledge today that there are some things growing, as it were, in your garden that at one time you would have immediately recognizing it and would have got rid of it and destroyed it and weeded it out? But that's not now how it is. And oh, my friends, you know this as well. The longer you leave it, the deeper the roots go and the harder it is to get rid of them. A little sleep, a little slumber. I'll sort it out later. I'll go back to my usual prayer routine some other time. I'll spend what I always thought before reading once I get this sorted out. I'll attend church, never missing whatever kind of weather or problem. I'll never miss services once I get this sorted out, just as I used to. I'll try and get into the company of Christians as I used to. I loved, used to go to fellowships. Well, just for certain things now, it's not the same. Later, later, later. My friends, all remember this. The best of gardens will become a bunch of, and a patch of weeds, except it is looked after. You see, it is one thing to say, I'm a gardener, but never make an effort to keep your garden. It's one thing to say, I'm a farmer, but you never plow and you never plant, and yet foolishly expect a harvest at the end of the season. Just as it is to say, one thing to say here tonight, oh, but I'm a Christian. And yet there is no evidence of that at this time in your life. And the only evidence is you're seeing it. Just as I said with the farmer or the gardener, oh, I am a gardener, I'm a farmer. And there's nothing seen but weeds and an overgrowing in your life. If you find, friends, slothfulness in your life, weeds allowed to grow, you need to ask yourself, what am I doing about it? Am I willing to do anything about it? Or I just let things go? I remember other times, I used to have a great harvest. I used to have wonderful crops of potatoes and things growing. I used to have a wonderful vegetable patch in my garden. I used to have all these things. I used to have a beautiful lawn and lovely flowers all round it. I used to be like that, but not like that anymore. Can you really say you're a gardener or you're a farmer if you haven't done these things? Is it just words? And dare I say, friends, and you say you're a Christian and there's no fruit of it in your life. And you say you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And where is the evidence? Not just saying it. Oh, friends, the danger. And isn't that one of the things we have so often in Scripture? Warnings for us. Oh, that we would not be like the church in Sardis. And name that we're alive, but we're dead. There's a deadness around us. Then I ask you, what happened to the wall of prayer you once kept, and you never allowed, as it were, a stone to fall out of it? But what do we see now? Some have found, there's gaps here and there, and the world gets in. Gaps that never used to be there in that wall. You were always at prayer. But now so many things are missing the prayer meeting. I've got a bit of a cold or a cough. I'm so tired. It's not very nice weather. I'll go next week. My friend, no wonder. No wonder there's not fruit in your life. No wonder you are what you are. Where are the tears of repentance that once were used? You remember maybe in the early days and you let things drift a little bit, but then, oh, it wasn't too long before you realized, what am I doing? And you got back to the old way. And you watered your repentance with tears. And the hard ground was, as it were, the hard ground was watered with your tears. So once again it became soft ground that bore fruit, for you. That's what you need to get back to. It is so easy to drift along, friends. You know that as I know it. And the thorns of formality, they are difficult, friends, to get rid of. the thorns of formality that have sprung up. And we've allowed, and you've allowed, to flourish in your garden. Flourish in the garden of your soul, Christian, tonight. And take stock then of it. Take stock of the walls that have fallen down. No longer guarding with the word and prayer. No longer anything to keep the world out of your day-to-day life. My friend, you might find this hard what I'm saying tonight. I hope and pray you believe that I am saying it, not just to you, but to myself. But I pray I'm also saying it because of a care for your souls. I'll tell you one person who never lets a stone fall out of his wall, who is never found slothful. And that's the devil. That's the devil. Oh, he looks and he sees when there's a stone missing and where there's a weed that hasn't been plugged out. And he'll do his own work to try and spoil everything. So I say to your friend here tonight, Christian, examine your life and consider your way. Whether you're an office bearer or a believer here, another believer, I don't mean ordinary believers, but other believers who are not office bearers. But then thirdly and finally, this surely also can be applied to the unbeliever here. You also have a field. You have, as it were, a garden. But sadly, you're also in a different way neglecting it. It's not that you don't know what is required. It's not that you don't know from Scripture what the Bible teaches what you need. You know all these things with your mind. But as somebody else has put it so well, you can't plow your field by only turning it over in your mind. You can't plow a field by only turning it over in your mind. You see, friends, it's not enough just to think on these things. There is an action required. There's a doing required. Is that how it is for many of you? It must be here. That these things are in your mind, but what are you doing about it? Are you thinking about these things? Oh, yes, I am. Is that why I'm here tonight? But what are you doing about it? And maybe you're here tonight as well and things have drifted. Even for you who once were so faithful in God's house, who would, yes, you would read your Bible at home and make an attempt at prayer. You never intended to let thorns grow in your garden. You never intended to let matters drift the way that they are for year after year after year. That little rest and sleepiness, that little sleep, slumber, folding of the hands of sleep, wasn't really meant to be for long. It was just the situation that you were in at the time. And no doubt you might be here tonight and you have an awareness that things are not right in with you. You have an awareness of great strong weeds in your life. You're aware of some sins that have taken deep root in your life. Oh, you intended to sort them out. You never intended them to take the root that they have. And you did intend to plug them out and to burn them and not get rid of them. And maybe you'll get them, but you said, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Not just yet, but some other time I will deal with the matter. Is that you tonight, my friend? Is that how it is with you? Oh, beware you don't leave it too late. Beware you don't leave it for a more convenient season. You know what Scripture says about that. But I tell you this, a more convenient season will never come. Now is the accepted time and the day of salvation. And you know, friends, and we all know this, that what grows most naturally in every garden with no great effort are the weeds and the thorns and the nettles. Oh, they don't need any looking after, they grow of themselves. And the natural weed in your uncultivated, unguarded heart is sin. And sin will grow, and sin will take hold, and sin, the longer you leave it, the harder it is to get out. Yes, sometimes some of you here, and you'll occasionally, you will pluck out this weed and that weed, and think that the crop will flourish. That will do. I am keeping certain things out of my life, and that surely is enough. I'm not as bad as I was, and I'm not as bad as somebody else. I'll sort these things bit by bit. Nobody can point a finger at me that I'm not doing something. I'm getting rid of one sin or another from time to time. Imagine that's it. You don't do this, and you do that, and think that's all that is required. How long has that been going on for in your own life? Some of you for 10 and 20 and 30 and 40 and 50, 60 maybe years. Some. And you have let the walls crumble. And you have let the thorns and the nettles continue to grow. Why? Because you're void of understanding also. Void of understanding of the awfulness of a God who hates sin, and the awfulness of what awaits you if you die without Christ and his salvation. And the fear is, friends, that for some, the corruption of your garden is beginning to become unmanageable. It started with a few things, and today it is like a jungle, as it were. Wherever you look, thorns and thistles, this sin, that sin. And you realize now that I am beginning to despair. My dear friend, I pray in a sense that that is so, that you're beginning to see, if you're without Christ tonight, that you're beginning to see the need that you have to sort out your problem. And what was intended as a little sleep and slumber has become a deep sleep. And that I fear one day, too late, you're going to wake up from it. Where, or not in a well-kept garden, but in the very pit of hell itself. We read elsewhere of parable of where these things are put about and they're burnt with fire. And the walls that you once erected are crumbling. Your religiosity and your outward form of religion, what are they now? Once you got by on, then do you really realize the danger that you are in? You may be thinking, well, what I said earlier on to the office bearers and the Christians, if they're like that, how can I not be the way I am? Surely that's not the problem. My friend, it is a problem. It is your problem. It is our problem, whoever we are tonight. And so then, I say to you, office bearers, beware and stop thinking just the office will put you on the right road. I say to you, members here, or believers, your lack of growth is dishonoring to God. I say to you, unbeliever, don't take any comfort from anything that I said to the rest of Christians here tonight. Because without question, you are in the greatest danger. There shouldn't be an ounce of comfort to you in what I said this evening. So, friends, office bearers, other believers, unbelievers, look to yourself and realize what Paul says in Romans 13. It is high time office bearer, believer and unbeliever, it is high time to awake out of sleep. Let us pray. O Lord God, thou knowest our hearts. Our failings are many. We confess that they are of our own making. Our lack of holiness, our lack of love, our lack of unity, our lack of Christ-likeness, our lack of tenderness, our lack of desire to be rid of sin. Lord, have mercy, we pray thee. And in thy wrath, the wrath that we deserve, remember mercy for Jesus' sake. Amen.